World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, so bear with me here a little bit this morning. I'm in a hotel room in, where are you, Michelle? St. Louis, Missouri. I don't want to try to wake up all my neighbors here. We're out here for, Michelle and I drove out yesterday for a funeral for a good buddy of ours, Chris Clegg, who had a long, arduous battle with cancer and is with the Lord now. So we got a chance to spend some time last night with Shelley, his wife. We go way back, Operation Save America days, and did a lot of great street ministry with them. And man, you know, the Bible tells us this. Again, sorry, I'm talking to you on my cell phone. Got my computer going over here, so sorry if it looks kind of chintzy. This is my coach voice. Or stop, I'm not yelling. This is my coach voice. I thought I'd wear that today. Jesus Viburn, Shell's laying over here in bed. You guys don't care about all those details, but I'm just giving them to you anyway. So that's where we are. And had a great time with Shelley last night. You know, Bible says it's hard for us to see. Spencer, maybe pull this up real quick, because we just don't want to believe this. Pull up Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Now, I'm working on my phone and my computer. So, again, if it looks choppy, look at this, folks. Do we really believe this? Do you really believe this? A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death better than the day of one's birth. What the heck does that mean? That we're here in this earthly realm fighting this earthly fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, weapons of our warfare, not carnal, mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Fight through this life down here, the joys of the life, 10 grandchildren, a wonderful wife, just a beautiful, beautiful life, trying to spread the gospel, standing up for Jesus. And the day of my death is going to be more beautiful. Boy, takes a while to swallow on that one, doesn't it? That's what it says. My old buddies out there, the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Oh, my goodness. Trying to get to my notes over here. Bear with me a second here. I'm kind of choppy here today. pull up a picture of the stone pile, Spence. It just says stone pile on it. We're going to get. I want to hear some testimonies about the staking. There it is. There's where I got my stones. So those of you who are staking, trying to figure out where they are, these stones are laying everywhere, man. I've found it. They're every place. Go downtown, there's stones everywhere. So when I ran out of stones yesterday, I'm going to get into all that on Saturday. When I ran out of stones, there are plenty more stones to be found. And then Spence, pull up, some pictures I want to show you real quickly here. It just says pics. And I'd love to hear from you guys a little bit. We're going to read from the book of Psalms, too. I'm sorry, Proverbs. I'm all over the place. Now, let me tell you this story here. Spencer, throw that up there. I'm sorry, folks, if I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at my computer. I'll look back over here. So this has happened to me. Craig, this is for you out there. This is for this is a God wink. Can somebody help me out here? Back 8 years ago, I went to a conference out in Bozeman, Montana. Michelle and I went out to Steve Quayle's having a conference, and we went out there. By the way, it's where I met Steve Quayle. It was a full eclipse was going on out there. Stay with him. I'm struggling to get rolling here. Bear with me. And big eclipse out there, full eclipse. So we were out there for this conference. And when we landed in the airport, we'd reserved a car, and I always reserve a little chintzy, I call them puddle jumpers, you know, cheapest car I can get because I'm cheap at heart and get 40 miles to a gallon. That's what I want to be able to do. And we go to the counter, and the girl behind the counter, this is in Bozeman, Montana, 8 years ago. Craig, there's a number 8 there. It means something. 8 years ago. New beginnings, I think. Anyway, I go to the counter, and the girl says, sir, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to give you an upgrade. And I said, okay. So the same price? She said, yes, same price. I said, okay. So she said, would you like a Mustang? And I looked at my wife, because we're going to drive through Yellowstone Park, right? I looked at my wife. I said, a Mustang? She said, yes, sir, a red one. And then she said, and it's a convertible. And I said, oh, are you kidding me? So Michelle and I got, we got bumped up what's whatever it is, to a brand new red Mustang convertible rental that we drove through Yellowstone Park. It was cool. The buffalo would come right up to the window. Anyway, so 8 years ago, Mr. Numbers out there, Mark Trump out there. Yesterday, I went to the rental car. And Michelle's with me. We walked right in and went right up to the gate, or the counter, and gave it to them where I was. And what do you think they said? They said, sir, we're going to have to bump you up, or whatever the word is they use. Would you like a Mustang? And I said, what? And I'm thinking, I got to drive how many miles? I want something that gets 80 miles to a gallon. I want a stinking Mustang. And he says, like clockwork, it's a convertible. And I turned around, I looked out the window, and there it sat. Look, there's a picture up there, Spencer. There it is. Another convertible Mustang upgraded at the rental office. So Michelle and I drove out here with a top down. Craig, what's that tell us, Craig? What the heck? I think that's a God wink. I don't know what it means, but it means something. What's number 8? Is number 8 new beginnings?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, new beginnings. What is it? Wow. I'm goosebumping. Because you may not believe this or not. And I don't want to sound like I'm really arrogant or anything else. I hear the Lord's voice. I hear it. Now look, friends, I don't hear it. I mean, I couldn't tell if he has a lisp or not. I don't hear his voice. But I understand this, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you through thoughts. And the Bible says to take captive every thought. Grab hold of it. Take it captive. And then when you take it captive, you say, Lord, is that you? Is that you? Or I say this, Lord, I heard that, Lord. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'm leading somewhere. Stay with me. So here we are in South St. Louis, driven out here in a white. See, it was, listen, Craig, help me out, Craig. Steve Deck, somebody help me out. It was a fire engine red one before and a white one now. 8 days later. That's a God wink. What is that message? 8 years later.
Maybe the next one will be a blue one. It'll be patriotic, red, white, and blue.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think the first four horses, the first one's white.
Yeah.
And the next one. Yeah. It's white, and then it's red, and then black, and then, it's pretty much the color order. I think you got the first two.
Craig, I think it was the Lord unleashing me with blood, not blood, but to carry the message of blood. Stand up, push back, fight. And the second one, anyway, I won't bore you anymore, folks, but I'm telling you, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, right? So, I'm going to hear some testimonies from you guys, but let me, can I give you my, here's what I did. Michelle went, she went on her own way with her buddy Ruby. They went out and they did some, I call it staking. I take stones. I wrote on my stone, Joshua 1:3. Would you pull that up, Spence, real quick? Bear with me, folks. Again, it's kind of hard for me. I got two camera thing going on here. Joshua 1:3. Somebody let me know what's up there. I see it over here. You're moving over here. Hang on. John, I can tell you what it says, but I want to verify it to you. Joshua 1:3. I'm sorry. In every place, I'm reading over here, that the sole of your foot touches, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. That's it. That's staking, baby. That's staking. So I took our stones and I put Joshua 1:3 on every stone. And off I went by myself. And here's what I did, friends, because listen, we need to do more of this. We need to be able to teach others to do more of this. Yes, I went on my own. Yes, I prayed over the rocks. I prayed over everything before I went. So I didn't have to spend a whole lot of time at each individual site. So I got my rocks over there. I got my Joshua 1:3 on each one of my rocks. And I'm driving down. I'm just as God is my witness. I said, Lord, show me where to go. Show me where to go. And I'm goosebumping again. It was overwhelming. What if that word's true? Every place that we put our foot, he's given unto us as an inheritance. What if that's true? So I'm driving down the road where I had to stop and get so many rocks. By the way, I didn't stake all four corners. I'm giving you this as a little bit of a lesson, okay? A little bit of a lesson that after you've prayed over them and designated for what they're for, Lord, I'm putting this here as being significant that I'm reclaiming this property for you. I only use one rock. If you would, Spencer. Yeah, that's right, Craig. It only took one rock to kill Goliath. Friends, I am so sold on this thing. I want to hear from some of your testimony. Just a second. I'm all over the place here. Pull up for me. It says picks, I think. Let me see what it says. Yeah, pull up picks. So I'm going to look over here a second. Pardon me, folks, because I can just see a bit over here on my computer. And I want you to see. Is it up on the screen? You guys all see it okay? Somebody say yes, so I know. Okay, so I made notes. I staked the four corners of Hebron. I staked both ends of the Ohio Canal that runs through Hebron. Staked our son's house. I used rocks. I staked three Hebron churches. There are only three in town. So I staked every one of them by myself. I staked three Buckeye Lake churches. There are only three of them. That's a neighboring community. I staked the four corners of Buckeye Lake. I staked the Buckeye Lake post office. Can I tell you why? My uncle used to be postmaster out there. There's some generational connections. So I posted it, but posted, think what comes through the mail. Anyway, okay. I posted Buckeye Lake Spillway. Doesn't mean anything to you, but boy, those of us at Buckeye Lake, it means something too. I staked my sister's old house right on the lake. I prayed over that because I wonder how many of her children are in bondage. Folks, I'm talking to you out there. How many of your children are in bondage from something that happened at an old home? Place where they used to live, where you used to live as a child. And I went back and I put a Knut's house and I broke those curses off of my nieces and my nephews. I went to the four corners of Buckeye Lake, actually five. There were five different entrances and each one of them had a welcome to Buckeye Lake sign. I staked every one of them. I didn't do the KOA campground, although I should have. I staked, oh man, Buckeye Lake, I could go on long. I staked Hollywood Farm, my aunt's beautiful property. Yeah, I'm just, wow. I'm going back and cleaning up the mess of my own life if you're picking it up here. I staked 3535 Sellers Drive. I staked Jacktown Church just by myself. I staked three more churches on Route 13 right out by where I live. I staked two Masonic temples. And I staked Crystalline Hill Road, where I live, from one end of it to the other end of it. I did that in about 45 minutes. And, you know, we could go on and on and on here. The word says every place you put your foot, it's given to us as an inheritance. Every place. And I want you to just stop and think about you. Just get out of your car. Take a bunch of rocks. Write Joshua 1:3 on them. Pray before you go and think about the place. As you're driving, I'm telling you, the Lord will say right there, right there. Well, maybe it's not him. Some voice would say that to me. Some note, something in my inner man would say right there. And then it would say, oh, go there. And then I had a powerful time in the Lord. Me, just me with the Lord. It's me with the Lord. I didn't even put that down in this. I was just doing it. My cousin, she's same class. Well, she's a year, that's not true. She was a year older than me. But she drowned. She flipped her car. She was 16 years old. She flipped her car into the Buckeye, into the canal, the Ohio Canal. She was driving, no guardrail, slid, went into the lake, died. How about this one? When the emergency squad came to get, the squad came. When the squad showed up, my uncle was the one on the squad who pulled his niece out of the water, if you can believe that one. And I went back and I staked that. I staked that spirit of death. Oh, I could go on and on and on. Go on and on. It's the spirit of death, man. I broke it off of our... Oh, I could tell you some stories. I'm rambling. Let's read Proverbs. Somebody volunteered to read Proverbs 4 for me today. Who will do that? And then I want to hear your testimonies. I'm looking over here on my line, see if anybody's got their hands up over here. Who's going to read Proverbs 4 for me this morning? I got it up. I'll read it. Friends, go out someplace today. Drop a rock and read some Proverbs 4 over it. By the way, I got blown away reading the Proverbs. Anybody else out that like that out there? I'm blown away. You know, you could say the Bible is a, you don't believe the Bible. Who wrote it? Some men wrote it. Bible, whatever. My goodness, the wisdom in the Proverbs. That couldn't be from men. Ain't no way that could be from a man. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. Boy, J.R., that'd get you going right there, wouldn't it? Hear the instructions of a father and intend to know understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. Don't just know what's going on. Understand the times in which we live and know what it is we need to do. Yeah? For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Remember, God's laws are always protective. For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Wow. He taught me. Who did? My father. He taught me also. And he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. I love my daddy, my dad, born 1919. Anybody else out there trained like this? I wasn't trained like this. Did I train my children like this? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Forget what? Forget it not. Wisdom. Don't forget it, man. Don't forget it. Evidently, you can. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Speak wisdom. Forsake not wisdom. And she shall preserve thee. Who? She, wisdom, shall preserve you. Love wisdom. And she shall keep you. You see, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Watch. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Lord, don't give me a bunch of head knowledge. Lord, help me know what it means. Help me to understand what it means. Exalt wisdom. And she shall promote you, thee. Wisdom shall bring you to honor. And when you embrace, embrace wisdom, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Who will? Wisdom. A crown of glory shall wisdom deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I've led thee in bright paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Could any man have written this, folks? Any man written this? Let not wisdom go. Keep wisdom, for wisdom is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. That's what wisdom is for, direction. And go not in the way of evil men. Wow. Is our nation going in the way of evil men or what? Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. What? That path of the wicked. Don't follow the path of the wicked. Why? For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. The wicked can't even sleep at night until they do something wicked. For they eat the bread of wickedness. Talking about the other side now, boys and girls. They drink the wine of violence. But the path of us, the just, is as shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Wow. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto what I'm telling you. Let these words not depart from thine eyes. Keep these words in the midst of your heart. For these words are life unto those that find them and healing to all flesh. Wow. Keep your heart. Got to guard your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. I think some clown could have written this. Just some guy sitting down writing. Put away from yourself a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Froward lips are offensive words. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left, and get your foot out of evil. Wow. Come on in. Somebody come in. Give a little testimony. Those of you who did. I wonder, Craig, is there a way? Is there a way that we could ever keep a running total? Could we at some point total up at the end of this thing all the staking that was done? Go back to my list, because I'm going to have to add to it. I just remembered two more I remember. And I haven't even added them up, but I went through so many stinking rocks. Oh, my goodness. Hey, every bank has rocks out in front of it. Every city building has a pile of rocks like that. Not a lot of churches have piles of rocks. Joshua 1, verse 3. Go ahead, right on. Mel, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Hey, Coach, I was laughing. I was just thinking we weren't supposed to do all 31 in one day.
I did more than that, I think, Mel. I'm telling you, I got on a roll, and I needed somebody beside me to when the thought came to me to tell him, hey, write this one down. Hey, write this, because my mind it was amazing. It was easy. I had fun.
Yeah, that's fun. So anyway, I started at my house, and then where the Lord kind of led me is I was in Lancaster, and I was actually with one of my prodigal sons, and we climbed up Mount Pleasant. Wow. And I put one there and kind of, you know, claimed Lancaster for the kingdom from that aerial view. It was really, really powerful. Cool. And actually later that day, I did a two a day. So I did more than one that day. There was a place that I had remembered up on the top of Rising Park. It's just this really bizarre kind of stand that's kind of in foreign language. And I sent you a picture of it, but it seems really out of place there. So I kind of, you know, prayed Psalm 91 over that one. And then yesterday I had kind of gone on a little road trip. And as I was coming back, Pickerington is another large town in my county. And I staked Pickerington. So Anyway, having a blast with it though. And it's really a great action. So I hope everybody joins us.
Amen. Hey, by the way, did anybody, this is a somebody can come in later. Did anybody get somebody to go with you? Did you get somebody, hey, just come with me. And then they had fun doing it too. Mary Beth, come on in.
I haven't had anybody go with me yet, but I plan on it. But anyway, I tend to be legalistic like you talked about the other day. So I kind of did what you did. I just took stones, which they often did in the Bible. And then I wrote John 3:16 and I left a little gospel card. I tucked it in where there's always a place to tuck it in. And who knows who God will have find these things.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know the four corners of my city, but I do know two. So I did the two corners of the city and just prayed the proverb and prayed. And then the other day, I saw a girl out there cutting the grass. And the Lord often leads me to go and talk to people. And anyway, it was kind of cool because I pulled up a $5 bill at like a heart and then I put it with the gospel card. And I just usually try to bless them that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's cool how the Lord works. It just really is. So,
it is true.
I'm sorry, I'm sticking to it.
It's amazing how the Lord works. Amen. I want to share you something. This is why we need to be doing this kind of stuff. Spencer, if you could, I'm sorry, I went kind of haywire over here on my computer. Pull up, it says a biblical worldview. This is what we've been talking about, folks. This is staggering to me. This just popped up on Facebook. Let me know when it's up there. There it is. Folks, look at this. Spencer, maybe I can make it larger here. Top 10 states with a biblical worldview. Think about that. What is a biblical worldview? Biblical worldview is you see everything through the lens of the Bible. You see God at work at everything. I can hardly see it here. Well, maybe if I do this, hang on. Alabama, only 12%, 12.6. of people in Alabama, adults that have a biblical worldview. Mississippi, the South, they talk about the South, 12.5. South Carolina, 10. Arkansas, 9. Big countdown. Betty, Montana, 8. Virginia, 7. Folks, you understand 93% of the people do not have a biblical worldview? Is it any wonder we're in the mess that we're in? Idaho, 7. Brandy, you better get to work out there. Oklahoma, 6.7. Jamie, Clay, get off your arse. 6.7 in Tennessee. North Carolina, 6.3. Now, stop a minute, folks. Everybody else is below that. Everybody else is below 6.3. No wonder we're in the mess we're in. Somebody come in here and rescue me. Somebody's got something to say. Come on in. Oh, wait a second. Oh,
Coach.
Yeah.
You know how over the years you always make little notes in your Bible? And it's neat 5 years, 10 years later, you go back and you're reading the scripture and you're like, oh, I remember that.
Yep.
Well, I sent you a picture. What I did Friday morning was just read Psalms 1 and put a rock down at the end of my driveway where the entrance is.
Yeah.
And that rock right there is two big rocks. Well, I put my rock in there and put scripture. I just put Proverbs 1 on there.
Simple.
And that two driveways, one goes to my house, the other one's a right-of-way down through my property by the river. That attorney that lives back there has got Buddha heads on his gate down there. So I'm like, I got to drop a rock here in my driveway where he passes by that rock every day. So I wrote it right in my Bible, you know, our house, and that was my first stop. So just put them right in your Bible, write it in there, where you go.
I got rocks sitting in my passenger seat. They don't buckle. I mean, I don't buckle them up, but they sit right there in my passenger seat. And when the Lord says, folks, whatever he says unto you, do it. Little God winks are happening to us all the time. I got all discombobulated over here. Does anybody have their hand up? They want to come in. I can't see right now. I'm screwed up. Somebody, no, come on. Somebody come in and tell us a story.
Oh, Coach, this is Gene. And
okay, gotcha, Gino.
Yeah, I went and I was trying to find some rocks. And, you know, they said go to Lowe's and couldn't find any decent ones there. So I went to this gift shop. And I was telling this lady that was helping me what I was doing. And she says, that's really neat, going out and staking your city. And I got some rocks and I just wrote on there like Proverbs 1. And I just would lay them. And I first went to a first town and I forgot, I forgot the oil to anoint them. But I'd already laid one down in Lacey. But I lay it at the base of the city limit. Sign where the city limit was, and I laid it at the bottom of that and prayed. And but I had to go back yesterday and anoint that rock that I forgot to anoint with olive oil that I had blessed with God's word. And I've done several cities already, but I'm not going to be able to do every day, but you know, I'm going to do what I can.
It ain't hard, is it, Gino?
Just bless it like I read the Bible verse, Proverbs 1, and I brought the next day was Proverbs 2, and then yesterday was Proverbs 3. And I just read it and asked God to bless these cities, and I put on the rock Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2 and Proverbs 3 on the days respectfully.
And it's so cool. So folks, look, just start talking to your friends. I think you'll find people who will go. In fact, it's a good way to make new friends, right? New areas. People think of different places. I staked all of our children's homes again yesterday. Did that, rocked them. I rocked them. Amen. Betty, come on in.
Hey, sure missed you guys.
Anyway, where are you, Betty?
I am in Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm going to be heading home here in a day or two. But anyway, I did a lot of staking and stuff, but I also... I was anxious kind of about meeting a lot of my classmates because, you know, we were always so bullied. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed. Boy, I did some praying on the way home. But anyway, everything turned out really well. So I told them, I just would start talking about them. And then they will, of course, would say, what are you doing, you know, in life? Well, I got to introduce, you know, Saving God's Children. And then I got to introduce you with your card and all of that. And then that's how I got into my life story. And people were so shocked. And I think I made a lot of new friends over the weekend because they had a different attitude. And I was telling them that they need to know their neighbors. You never know what goes on at your neighbor's house, you know, if that child is being trafficked or something.
Right.
So many, many eyes were opened about, you know, Craig's site, you know, Saving God's Children and Pass the Salt Ministry. And boy, I tell you, I just rattled on.
Hey, buddy.
Once I had that chance, I did not quit. And then I told them about staking and told them that I stake almost everywhere I go. I, you know, because I'm taking that back in the name of Jesus, you know, for Jesus.
Amen.
And all that.
And
they were kept saying, boy, you're brave. Then you're out there fighting. I said, well, you need to get brave and get out there and fight the cause, you know, and it's him who's helping me. It is. And the people that I follow, they're so well educated because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
So you got to start having this fear of the Lord instead of fear of the man. And I was blasting them with Bible verses. So I got a few new friends. So thanks to y'all. You guys made me brave.
Well, it's not about making friends, although that's what I'm going to do, right? Because truth is, a lot of people are going to be offended by it, right? So I don't worry about that. I put my hat on and go, why would you let the opinion of somebody else control you?
Well, I made a point to say that, you know, after all I've been through, I didn't care what anyone thought of
that's
me.
Right.
So either like me or don't.
That's
it's
right.
All about him anyway.
That's right. Doesn't matter to me. God bless you, Betty. God bless you. Dave Allison, Dave Brashear. Hang on, Dave, before you come in. I hope the rest of you are staking. Huh? You mean to tell me, however many are watching right now, could you imagine if all of us did it? Why won't somebody do it? It is so easy. Right? Joshua 1:3 on a stone. And go someplace and stand there and say, Lord, we reclaim this for you. I can't do anything about it, Lord, but we invite you back here and drop. Why can't you do that? Why can't you do that? In fact, I was talking to Craig. I'll get right to hang on a second. Every church in America ought to be doing this, right? We ought to be going to the pastors and life. Can you imagine if everybody in the community, the only three churches in Hebron, three of them in Buckeye Lake, if those six churches all began to go and reclaim territory for the cause of Christ, you know what else will happen? They'll become more bold in their faith. Most of them probably wouldn't have any idea. I'm not making this up. Would not have any idea how to publicly say a prayer. That's where we are. 12%? 12? I wonder what it is in Ohio. Can you imagine what percent of people in New York have a biblical worldview? Connecticut? Washington, D.C.? Heaven forbid. Dave Allison. Come on in. Dave or Sherry or both. Hand went down or they lost it. Doesn't matter. Dale. Pastor Dale.
Yeah, well, coach
was wrong.
No, go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave Allison. Go ahead. Dave Allison.
I put my hand down rather than muting my mic.
That's right.
Hey, so we did some staking, and we did go to the area where the County Road Commission is. Bless Sherry for the idea. And, Coach, there was that big pile of rock salt. And so now we're claiming they don't know it, but the County Road Commission, they've now been recruited into the kingdom of God to go and spread that rock salt throughout the county, keeping people on the straight and narrow.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Huh? They've been recruited and don't even know it, huh, Dave? It's like you've come in, you're the new corporation, and you're taking over the old one. The kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, Coach, it was a pretty unique day yesterday. I had a great conversation with Randy and Craig yesterday also. But, you know, I introduced the rocks to the church yesterday.
Awesome.
Coach, now listen, this is a church, right? Now, you're right. Even though it's a good church, you just don't know how it's going to receive. So every year before the school starts, we pray over the kids. Every family is going to be putting stones at all four corners of their home.
There you go, brother.
Brother, that was huge. I'll be going out on my boat today, hitting Lake Pontchartrain, Coach, with this, right?
Hey, Dale, I threw rock in Buckeye Lake, so right in the water.
Well, I'm hoping I hit a fish in the head and he bites my line. Also, Coach, yesterday, you know, my church is not that big. It'd be 30, maybe 40 people, Coach.
Yeah.
We didn't have any kind of event. We had nothing. We had 15 guests yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Coach, listen, in a church of 40, in a church of 30, you literally increased the church, almost doubled in size.
Yeah.
Because something was very unique. The people were extremely receptive. Now, I staked my church a long time ago, but my church wants to do it as a whole church, the four corners the church. Yeah. So, Coach, I'm pretty doggone excited about what their heart receiving that. They don't look at it as silly. They take it serious. And the fact that they all want to engage and do it. And I said, well, I'm bringing what rocks I have left next week. I'll get more. I'll have them all nice and clean so you can write scripture on them.
Amen. And Dale, just tell them they can do it alone. Just go. And then they'll find somebody with them and then they'll go. And yeah. It just becomes a way of life, man.
Well, the thing that I said, listen, parents, take your kids with you and do your home first.
Amen.
And I said, don't lay it on your ground at your home. Plant it, plant it in the ground.
Amen.
So I'm excited about to see, because the people are receptive of it and receiving it. And you know what? Isn't that what a pastor does? Equip the saints to do the works of the ministry?
That's the way it's supposed to work, buddy. And I can tell you this. I could get Craig Mickle in here, and he could start giving us dates. And we did this, and here's what happened. We did this, and here's what happened.
Coach, I sent this to Craig. Do you know what happened in Russia yesterday?
No.
The volcano erupted. It hasn't erupted in over 400 years. And they had another 7.0 earthquake because of it. Something majorly's happened.
With all you're getting, get knowledge. Get wisdom, get knowledge and understanding, right? Bless you, Dale. Bless you. Glenn.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So Karina and I, we went out and we staked the three churches nearest our home.
Awesome.
And so what we did was, we got the rocks and we put scripture verses on them. And then Karina anointed them with oil. And I was hoping what we did was we prayer walked the church and then laid the stone down. I was really hoping I could, somebody would come out, a pastor or something, so we could engage him. But there was nobody. No. So we did three churches and a Christian school. It was really good. But here's the interesting thing. So after we were done, Karina says, I'm kind of hungry. So I said, well, let's run down to the Dairy Queen. We'll get a fish sandwich. So we get down there and we order it. And then we go up to pay. And all of a sudden, there was some kind of a short, electrical short, and the register wouldn't work, the card reader wouldn't work, the manager's trying to figure it out. So I'm standing there, so I just gave him the money, and he gives it back to me. He says, no, I can't accept it. He says, I have to get this working. So, and he says, take it back. I said, no, I'll just leave it. He says, no, I can't accept it. So we ended up with a free meal.
How about that, huh? Good one, man. Good one. It's fun, folks. I felt like I was doing something, man. Felt like I was working out. Don't get me going. Randy.
So, Coach, I'm not sure that everyone believes that when God said, take the ground, it's yours, I'm giving it to you. We understand that. But, Coach, let me ask you. If you paid for your land and you bought it and they gave you the title and you have it in your hand, you're the owner, the clear owner, you have title, clear title, and some criminal comes in there and they swindle you out of it, and they at gunpoint they force you off, and you're outside your land, you're off your land. Who still has title to that land, Coach?
Mm. Yeah, you still do.
You do. So what does John say in the book First John? It's talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that Amen. Was made.
Amen.
So in other words, Coach, the earth, people say, oh, the earth's the devil's. It's just he took it over. Well, he did. But it belongs to God. He owns it. He has title. Coach, we were swindled. The Adam and Eve got swindled. Look, there's a thief. A liar sitting that think they own this land, and they do not. So, Coach, it belongs to God. It belongs to Christ, every single square inch, and it is up to his people to push these squatters off of it. And,
that's
the evil, Coach. We want righteousness, justice, truth, and mercy on the land. What better cause is there to stand up for righteousness' sake? Let God say, have his land back, and we be stewards of it. Amen, Coach?
Amen, amen, amen. We always talk about taking back what the devil stole. Well, here's a good way to do it, baby. Good way to do it. Appreciate you, Randy. Mary Beth, then I will show you some. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Let's see. Oh, Dale's got a lot of places I thought of, but the first day, Coach, I was lazy. I made myself go out and do it, and I was really... blessed. God blessed me for it. But I got my rocks at Lake Superior, the mighty Lake Superior. And so they're all washed clean. But anyway, I was talking to Glenn Baker yesterday, and he said, faith walking is not easy. It's lonely, and it's done in the dark. So we just need to do this. We need to be obedient about it. God didn't tell you about this for us not to do it. So, and don't feel guilty if you didn't do it. Just do it.
That's
do it
right.
Today.
Just do
in
it.
One
just,
place. Do it small. Yeah. You don't have to worry about doing it big, like getting 31 in a month. I mean, just do it. Just go out and do it.
Every place you put your foot, man. Every place you put your foot. Do it as an inheritance. Amen. Amen. I can't see my list. Anybody got their hand up? I don't think so.
Glenn.
Okay. Go ahead, Glenn. Or did you just forget to take it down, maybe? So I'm on two computers here. It's kind of messing me up. So Spence, do me a favor. Pull up number three, David Jeremiah. I'm not going to play this whole thing. Put it up at 1.5 speed. No, don't do that. Put it at regular speed. And I don't know if this is AI. Somebody said, Coach, be careful. It could be AI. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But I'm going to give you a little taste of this and then put it in the chat so that you can listen to Pastor David Jeremiah. Go ahead and play that.
Speaks without purpose. And when he impresses a date on the hearts of his people, it's not for entertainment, it's for preparation. August 2nd, 2025 is not just another day on the calendar, it's a
Pause
divine checkpoint.
Now, I don't know why he's talking about August 2nd. He says it several times. So maybe there's a story behind this I'm not aware of. Go ahead.
A wake-up call, a spiritual tremor before the coming quake. Today, we unpack why that day will shake the earth and why your response matters more than ever. They say time is just a measure of moments, but every so often God steps into time and designates a day not as ordinary but as divine. August 2nd, 2025 may look like any other day on the calendar, but something in the atmosphere says otherwise. The spiritual realm is not silent. Heaven's alarm clock is ringing, and those who have ears to hear know exactly what I mean. We are living in a time when most people hit the spiritual snooze button. They sense the discomfort, they feel the tremble beneath the surface, but they roll over, hoping it will pass. The problem is the alarm doesn't stop, it just grows louder. What begins as a nudge becomes a shaking. God is trying to get our attention not through fear, but through mercy. He's reminding us that time is short and eternity is long. The world is asleep to spiritual things. People are addicted to comfort, distracted by noise, lulled into passivity by technology and triviality. But God is speaking to those who are still awake, those who have kept their hearts sensitive, their minds alert, and their spirits watchful. You don't have to look far to see that something is stirring. Globally, there's a rising sense of tension. Economies falter, leaders stumble, wars inch closer, and nature groans. But these aren't just headlines. They're signals. They are divine disruptions meant to awaken the soul. August 2nd is not about a date on a calendar. It's about a season of revelation. This date is a symbol of God's mercy calling us before the next major moment unfolds. Throughout Scripture, God never acted in judgment without first sending a warning. Whether it was Noah before the flood, Jonah to Nineveh, or Jesus himself before the fall of Jerusalem, there was always a window to respond. August the 2nd of May very well be such a window. There's a psychological dimension to this too. When people hear a warning over and over again, they start tuning it out. It's called desensitization. But spiritual desensitization is far more dangerous than psychological fatigue. Because when the shaking actually comes, the unprepared won't just be shocked, they'll be swept away. That's why the Holy Spirit is waking up the remnant now. This is not the time for passive belief. This is the time for bold conviction. God is not looking for church attenders. He's looking for kingdom responders. He's searching for those who won't just hear the alarm, but will rise from their slumber and say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." This is about becoming spiritually aware in an age of spiritual anesthesia. The enemy of your soul would love for you to scroll, binge, and sleep your way through this prophetic hour. But God's calling you to stand, discern, and act. And let's not mistake silence for absence. Just because the skies are calm doesn't mean heaven is quiet. Just because we haven't seen fire fall from above doesn't mean the fire isn't already burning within. If you've been feeling a divine unease lately, don't ignore it. That may very well be the Spirit's way of shaking you lovingly awake. We are not promised tomorrow, but we are given today to repent, to believe, to prepare. If there's one thing we've learned from the biblical narrative, it's that God doesn't move randomly. He moves purposefully, methodically, and prophetically. Every action he takes is rooted in a pattern. Every time he speaks, it aligns with a larger framework. And when a specific day like August 2nd, 2025 begins to stir hearts across the globe, we would be wise not to dismiss it as coincidence or hype. We should ask, what if this is part of a divine pattern?
Okay.
What if prophecy and calendar are converted?
Put it in the chat for the rest of you to listen. It gets better and better and better. I don't know if it's AI or not. I don't care if it's AI. The words are profound. And Craig, I still sit here. And if maybe you guys don't get this, I'm sorry, I'm looking down here rather than look at you. I'm sorry. Maybe you don't get it. Can somebody explain to me how 2 days, 8 years apart, the rental company wouldn't have any cars and give me a convertible? Mustang convertible. Same style, same car. One red, one white. Something's happening here. But it isn't exactly clear. But something's going on, folks. Something's going on. Call it a God wink. I don't know what it is. Something going on. Come on, Craig.
Well, let me help you with some clarity here, Coach. All right. Well, first off, if it's AI, he better take it off his own personal website because that's where it's posted at. Okay. So that might not be. I don't know if I'm.
Well, you know, people are. Oh, that's AI. You know, I get all those emails. You know how that goes.
I understand. And he said it 6 days before, so I don't think he was watching Coach Dave live.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyways, he's a good man. He's a good man. I learned a lot from him. But here's the thing, Coach. Okay. What happened in 2017? Okay, well, first we had it was the 23rd, I believe, August 23rd, was the first of the three solar eclipses.
That's, by the way, that's where I met Mark Trump.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
What happened on September 23 of the same year? Well, that was that cluster of patterns of stars that hasn't happened in 7,000 years called the Revelation 12 sign.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So now, you know, I'll tell you where I'm at with this. So God's completed his 7 years. He's working on the eight's new beginnings. Okay. So this, he was setting signs in the heavens years ago. Okay. And people aren't paying attention, but he's going to shake the heavens and the earth to do that. Now the reference that, I don't know if he knows this or maybe he does, Dr. Jeremiah, or I don't know, probably many people in the queue do, is, well, this third and the fourth is the ninth of Av by the Shabbat Jewish calendar. Well, what's the ninth of Av? Well, it's the time when both temples were taken down on this. You talk about 8 years apart. The first temple was taken down in 586 BC, and the second temple was taken down in 70 AD. All right, over 600 years apart on the same day. Now, if that's not a God wink, I think that's a God hammer. And this weekend, that Saturday into Sunday, was the ninth of Av. And so what we're talking about, and this is one of the reasons why, I mean, I'm very set on, I love what we're doing with the rocks here, but the refiner's fire is going to keep going through this fall because it's the church. Okay. So the ninth of Av is when the church fell. What you guys might start to get grasp is you're recreating the church. You're helping the church right now, and refiner's fire is going to spread across this land as the Holy Spirit refines his church for its finest hour.
Somebody out there right now, Google what percentage of Americans have a biblical worldview. Folks, you know what? Hang on, Craig. I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't mean to cut you off, but for a purpose. Folks, we're the greatest minority in America. You understand that? Oh, everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian, but they don't have a biblical worldview. That's like calling yourself a baker or having a bakery because you work at McDonald's, right? It's not the same. And so this unveiling and revealing is going on all around us. To those of us have eyes to hear and ears, eyes to see and ears to hear. Hang on. Look, hey, folks. It wasn't a Pontiac convertible. It wasn't a Toyota convertible. It wasn't a Chevrolet convertible. It was a Mustang convertible again out of nowhere. Now, that's a sign. I want the Lord to show me what the heck that sign means. Go ahead, Craig. I cut you off.
No, the point to the whole thing here, Coach, is that this is prophetic. This is a prophetic time, and you know the Lord's going to. He's building up his church. Okay, and here's the problem. Christians don't have a biblical worldview. That's the problem. The church doesn't, and he's going to yeah. refine it, and that's why I put in there 10 cities. I said, well, if it's good enough for Sodom and Gomorrah, can it be good enough for like Hagerstown, Maryland? I think yep. or Hebron, Ohio,
yep.
or down where Dale's at, or Tulsa, or Oklahoma. I think it is. I think it's a standard principle.
Amen.
And so, anyways, enjoy it, have fun, and have lots of good stories. Document them. Document your stories, everybody. Write them down for your own edification, and you will see God move in those areas.
Amen.
Your jaw is going to drop, and you're going to have someone pick it up off the floor.
Amen. Amen. For salvation, stake your Lord, don't get me going on that one. Don't get Donna Thomas. Come on in, Donna.
Hey, this is JT. This is JT.
Hey, okay, good, buddy. Good to hear you.
hey, look, as I was preparing my heart for the staking and stoning and stuff, the Lord says you need to find out the high places in your county.
Yep.
The places, you know, the Georgia Guidestones was a major high place, and it was taken down by staking. I said, okay, Lord, just give me
I know who staked it.
So give me an instance of a high place in most cities, the high school.
Wow.
So if you go to that, everybody should be, if they have an opportunity to take stones to the high school, because you can have your children all through elementary school, and they are good kids. The moment they get into that high school, they come out different.
Amen, brother.
Huh? Stake your high school. Love you guys.
They call it a high school for a reason, don't they? Huh? The high school. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, again, listen. I had somebody say the other day, well, I already staked that. Don't worry about that. Sometimes the house needs repainted, right? Whatever the Holy Spirit says unto you, do it. Move upon it. Get it done. I guess I never thought what a minority God's people where they are, right? Bible says, broad is a way, narrow is a path. Many come and few find it. In the town that you live in, I'm gonna say Hebron, Ohio, 2,000 people, 2,500, I don't live in town, but you get it, 2,500 people. Let's say they really had a growth spurt. Let's say there's 3,000 people living in Hebron, Ohio. That means only 300 of them are going to church. Is it any wonder why we've given over our schools? The gospel has become secondary, not essential. It's happening because of us. So I got another clip I want to share. I don't have time to share it with you, but I just want to encourage you. By the way, Michelle and I are going to be out here a couple of days. I'll be home on, doesn't matter. We'll be coming home soon. Just pray for us and pray for Chris and Chris' family and death, man. Death, where's your sting? Where is it? If we have hope in this world only, we're of all men most miserable. Greater in the eyes of the Lord is the day of your death than the day of your birth. Can't even imagine it. Huh? Today is Obama's birthday. What? Is it okay to pray against him? Is it okay to pray that he would receive Christ? Would it be okay to have judgment, pray that judgment would fall upon Obama and then he would receive salvation? Would that be okay? Pray against his schemes and his agendas? Able to do that?
Turn him over to Satan.
That is the spiritual warfare. It's what it's all about, man. Hey, sorry for the clunky look today. We'll get the same clunky look tomorrow. And I'm proud of you. Not that it matters. For getting out there and dropping those stones. I'm going to get Steve Hemphill on there. I'm sorry. Wrong name. I'm going to get, doesn't matter. We'll get on and talk more about it. Go do it today. Find somebody. Joshua 1, verse 3. Every place you put your foot, given unto you is in your inheritance. God bless. See you tomorrow.